Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's been a little more than a year since Humboldt State made the major name change to Cal Poly Humboldt, becoming the third polytechnic university in California. The move was made in part to meeting the growing demand for STEM and attract students to pursue an education in science, technology, engineering, and math on the North Coast. But as a result, the university says they're experiencing unprecedented enrollment growth, with a record number of applicants for this year's fall semester. And that surge of new students is creating a housing challenge. Because of a shortage of student housing on campus, the university announced plans this week for hundreds of students to live in hotels. The housing crunch is again raising longstanding concerns among students at the university. Joining us now to share more details into this plan are two representatives with Cal Poly Humboldt. Todd Larson is the Senior Director of Housing Operations and joined by Danielle King, Senior Director for Housing and Residence Life. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Vicky.
Okay, so Danielle and Todd, you both work for housing for the university. How are your roles different? Todd, I'll start with you.
All right. So I oversee housing operations and auxiliary operations here, so that's bookstores and dining, but mostly all the nuts and bolts and operations side. And Danielle is my counterpart, and I'll let her explain.
Yeah, so while he's handling all the nitty-gritty stuff, my role is looking at how we assign folks, looking at the customer service parts, and overseeing the staff who live in our areas, both professional and student staff, and support and provide resources to the many students who live on campus.
All right, so with that context, what conversations took place leading up to this decision from Cal Poly Humboldt this week? Todd?
Well, I tell you, the Cal Poly transformation has really come true. And with the expanded majors we added, we're seeing a doubling in our first-time undergraduate applications on campus, which is good for us. It's good for the community because the campus, as you know, has gone from a low of about 5,600 students currently enrolled to once was a high back in 2015 of about 8,500 students. We're on track with the Cal Poly prospectus and goals to hit about 7,500 students next year. So about another 2,000 coming into the campus. So,
can you describe the surrounding area in the North Coast that surrounds Cal Poly Humboldt?
Yeah. So we are based right in Arcata. And of course, we pull students locally from, you know, Southern Humboldt all the way up to Pasture Rica, Trinidad area. But university is the main, probably the main employer, main growth, main attraction here in Arcata. And so it's quite a driver for the community and the economy here.
Danielle, which students will be impacted by this change come fall semester, with some students potentially living in hotels?
Well, I think those are our transfer students and our returning students, which is why we, you know, took time to look at how we were, what direction we were moving in, to make sure that we could ensure that as many people as possible were able to have housing. It's not something we've done before. You know, we've traditionally had wait lists when we've had an influx in an enrollment population. And so we want to make sure that given the change in the community, that we could provide housing for folks who want to be here, who need to be here, and not have those folks on wait lists.
What is the rental situation like in Arcata and the surrounding area of the university? Because I know some upper-class students, after they live in the dorms, they may make some friends and move out and rent a home together.
Absolutely. And I'll say, you know, to Todd's point earlier, that, you know, we've had a larger population earlier on. Back in our 2015, 2016, we had our peak, but the community has changed. And I think that, you know, COVID had a lot to do with that. You know, students moved home. Places off campus in the community that were traditionally occupied by students, those folks left because no one knew what was going to happen with the pandemic. And when those spaces were vacated, we had permanent residents who moved into those spaces, and it really limited the options for our students. And so what has happened in the past, where while we had a wait list, students were still able to find housing in the community, that's a lot less now. Even with the addition of new apartment complexes, students still are having difficulty finding more housing now than they did back when we were at, you know, 8,000 plus capacity.
Hmm. So, Danielle, what would your messaging be to upper class or transfer students who maybe aren't so keen on the idea of going into a hotel room as opposed to living on campus?
Well, you know, I think our goal here was, again, to look at what is the best way for us to occupy a space that gave us the most availability of housing for students. But we also recently changed, you know, the messaging and are looking at what our returning and continuing students are asking for. And it's looking at their concerns. And we opened up our on-campus housing options so that both incoming students and returning students have the option of living on campus. They'll compete with both, you know, the hotels and the on-campus situation. But really, we've got a lot of really positive feedback from the folks who are currently in our off-campus bridge housing area.
Right. That's about 100 students, right? And I think what you were touching upon was that the university conducted a survey of those students who were staying in the Comfort Inn. What did those surveys say? What did they reveal about how satisfied students were with the living experience?
I think many of them felt excited about the idea of having this experience that they were sharing together, and I think it brought them closer as a community. And again, this is not going to be a perfect situation. There are many things that we simply can't do, and we're working to adjust, but they like that they have housekeeping. They like that there are Sunday dinners where they can get together and have, you know, some engagement opportunity with each other. While it's a short distance from campus, they still enjoy the fact that where they're located, there are still options available to them. They're near a grocery store. They're near other food outlets. And we work with a local restaurant, Peppers, in order for them to be able to use their meal plans at that restaurant so that even when they're off campus, they still have food opportunities. And all of the rooms have a microwave and a refrigerator. And they've got some things that, you know, the students on campus don't have access to. And I don't know how other folks feel, but having access to a pool and a hot tub is something that I wish I personally had. But it is one of the things that the students have noted as a benefit of living over there. Mm. But also the parking situation at the Comfort Inn is pretty good. They're not fighting for parking. They don't require a permit to have it there. And so if they choose to use the shuttle that we're providing or public transportation to get to campus, they don't ever have to buy a parking permit.
Mm. Okay, so that was going to bring my next question. I was going to ask Todd this, because this plan is anticipating, you know, roughly 350 students will be housed at three hotels, and that's the Comfort Inn, which we just talked about, but also the Super 8 Motel and the Motel 6, and that's in town in Arcata. And, you know, typically when students live in dorms, there's the option of meal plans as well as transportation not really being needed because students can walk. So what other further accommodations can students expect if they live in these hotels?
So what we've worked out this year really with Comfort Inn as our trial, and it's been a success, and we didn't know what it was going to be like, honestly. We were nervous. It worked out well. We had a few folks in the beginning decide to move back to campus, and they always have that option when we have space open up. But we provide shuttle service on call right now. We've launched that with our University Police Department and SUVs. That supplements the hourly bus schedules that go direct to the campus from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Meal plans are all available for the students. About 70% of the guests in the Comfort Inn right now are on a meal plan. And so that means they can just pick up food to go to eat wherever on campus, bring it back to their room if they want to save something for dinner or breakfast. The hotels have complimentary continental breakfast every morning also. So that, and like Donyette mentioned, the agreement with Pepper's Restaurant has really supplemented that for folks on that area. So we plan to add more shuttle service in the fall. Our parking services has been purchasing vans, and student driver programs will start up. And that's going to help have a little bit more on-demand commuter service for the residents there that maybe don't want to take the bus, or it's an off hour, or it's an after hours or early morning request.
In response to this announcement, there were some students who protested on campus. There's an online petition, I believe, that has gathered about 4,000 signatures demanding that the university change this policy. Now, the petition claims that some upper-class students have been excluded from reasonable housing options, believes that further actions need to be taken by Cal Poly Humboldt to ensure housing is equitable for all students. What is your response to those concerns, Todd?
Well, it's really interesting, and I have to share this with folks. You know, 3 years ago, prior to this, we were mostly a first-time resident campus. That's it. Your sophomore, junior, senior years, we coached people on how to rent off campus because there really wasn't much space on campus at all. We took a few hundred folks each year for continuing students on campus, and the rest was for first-time incoming, what we would call freshmen or undergrads, and first-time transfers, because we want those folks on campus to get situated, get to know roommates, get to know friends, potential roommates for moving off. So for the last 3 years, we've had low enrollment, we've had COVID, we've had a lot of virtual learning. So we had space in the residence halls to house a lot of returners. And so now that we have all our applications up, we're kind of back to a pre-COVID model, and we're back to mostly first-time students living on campus for that experience. And so it's a change. It's a change for returners. And they, you know, they were not happy that there was not enough space on campus. So through working with all the students and meeting with all of them, we've added back an option for up to 600 spaces for returners and transfers to work with on campus. And so that's going back to sort of what we used to do. And then so primarily first time on campus, get that experience. And then we'll take a few with returners. We also have special housing for students with disabilities. They can go through our Student Disability Resource Center, get priority housing on campus. The same thing with some of our athletes that need to be here on campus for practice, things like that. So there are exceptions that are made for campus housing, and there's a process for that too.
Given that this is really, this approach for fall semester is bridge housing, because there's going to be new housing facilities that will be available, which is if it is on schedule for fall of 2025. So this spans like one school year between this gap. How many students will this new housing accommodate? And is that construction currently scheduled to be completed on time come fall of 2025?
Yeah, many folks in the area probably were familiar back when we were trying to build the Village Project in Arcata. And we worked several years to get that approved, and it would have been up and running and open by now, actually, for housing. But we had differences with the city of Arcata, and it just didn't plan to fruition. We dropped the project. We started over once the state bought the land over at the Craftsman's Mall area. And that project is scheduled to be on track. At least half of the units are supposed to be online by fall of 25 and the other half by January. That's going to be just over 960 beds for upper class housing. They're full apartment style housing. And in addition to that, we have two more projects on campus we're working on that will add more housing for freshmen and upper class. And those are scheduled for 26 and 27 openings.
But given the university had record applications, why not limit enrollment until the university had completed construction of the new housing facilities?
That's a very good question. Part of it is our process of trying to meet our enrollment numbers. At 5,600 students, the campus, you know, we're not paying the bills very well. It's just not keeping up. And so we needed to get up to our funded level of about 7,600 students to really start earning what the chancellor's office has funding the campus for, because we've been overfunded for many, many years. And that funding was going to be pulled unless we get our enrollment back up. So that's one of the goals. The other is we launched a lot of these new majors, and the interest has just been overwhelming. You know, with fire science and cannabis work and biology and wildlife. So there's a lot of new College of the Natural Resources students coming in. And the projections have just exceeded, I think, you know, what we were looking for.
And if I can just add to that,
please, Danya.
I think that the Cal State University system is about providing access to folks who may not have thought that they could, or, you know, weren't able to be supported in a way where they could attend college. And if you meet the enrollment criteria, if you meet the admissions criteria, we want to accept people who meet those standards. And so really our goal is not to turn away folks who are looking to receive a college education, but instead to figure out what do we need to do in order to manage the needs of our campus to be able to support and provide access to those students.
Right. And as enrollment increases, I mean, I think some projections from the university are that enrollment can increase by 50% within the next 3 years, 100% within 7 years. So there are some other options that are being floated around for temporary housing. I believe one of those ideas mentioned in the university's announcement is floating apartments or studios. Does this actually mean student housing is going to be literally floating in Arcata Bay?
That's a
like
good
they're
question.
They're in housing boats, or
yeah, we've looked at a variety of options. We've looked at other larger hotels. We've looked at floating accommodations that would be in the harbor, and it would probably be more in Eureka Harbor, not Arcata. But nothing's been confirmed yet. We're still working on what the best options might be to supplement the 350 beds we're going to have over on Valley West in Arcata.
What conversations are you having just among the Cal Poly, Cal State community? Because when it comes to emergency and temporary housing and housing insecurity for students, I mean, this is across the state. We have, you know, designated parking lots at times here at Sac State for people so they can sleep in their cars. I mean, this goes all the way down from Southern California to the North Coast. You know, how will the university ensure that there's going to be enough stable, secure housing for students to meet this excessive growth? Todd?
So a couple of things. One, we have an off-campus housing department that helps connect people with landlords. We launched a really groundbreaking, humble tenant landlord program that educates students and landlords locally on how to raise standards and understand what the needs are. So that's been very helpful. The other thing is we've had an emergency housing program in place for several years now on campus. And we house, you know, at a minimum 8 students at any given time for up to 20 days. And that runs through our Dean of Students and our CARES office. And so students can apply for that for emergency housing if they're in between something or a domestic violence situation or whatever it might be where we want to take care of them. It's interesting that on campus, we probably have recognized, I think, about 16 students right now that have registered to live in their vans or their RVs in parking. And we support that. They're allowed to park on campus. We have showers, lockers, mailing services. We have a commuter lounge in the student lounge center also. So those are just some of the ways that we're trying to help support emergency housing.
Donyette, is there anything you want to add before we wrap up?
I just want to make sure that it's understood that, you know, we work with our student population and try to connect with our AS and other folks to make sure that we're answering the needs of our students. We're listening to them. We're hearing what they're asking for. And as we are moving forward with this bridge housing option, it's making sure that we are sensitive to their needs and finding ways to address those needs in the best way possible. We don't want for this to be a situation where students feel that they've been, you know, disenfranchised. So we continue to work with them to make sure that they feel safe, they feel secure, and they've got access to the resources similarly to what our students on campus have.
Donyette and Todd, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thank you.
Todd Larson is Cal Poly Humboldt Senior Director of Housing Operations and Auxiliary Services, joined by Donyette King, Senior Director for Housing and Residence Life. Also, an editor's note to pass along, Cal Poly Humboldt holds a license to KHSU, which Cap Radio operates. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.